If you are ready for an amazing transformational experience, then you need to stay tuned for this next hour for a master's practice with Dr. Aisha Hogan. She is a leading specialist in holistic methodologies and the creator of a powerful integrative technique called enhanced energy communication. A master, clinical and metaphysical hypnotherapist, a well-respected author, a master of the mind, and highly sought international speaker. Get ready for a major breakthrough. And now, your soul guru, holistic transformational specialist, and host of A Master's Practice, Dr. Aisha Hogan.
Hi there. I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan, and welcome to A Master's Practice. I am excited today. I'm always excited at the beginning of the shows because I always seem to locate and find and bribe some of the most amazing people to be on the show. And today, you've just heard her on the previous show, I have Lisa Berry with me from Light on Living. And she is also another radio show host from OM Times. So I am thrilled to have her here. And we're going to talk about dreams today, right, Lisa?
We are. Yes.
So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. And I love that music. My gosh, that's like an energy pump, right? The beginning, my little shoulders were like bopping back and forth. That was fun.
Well, that's it. That's what it's all about, right? It's about bringing up that energy. We got to bring it up.
Yes. Another comment, I love that you have enhanced energy communication. That packs a punch right there, and that's what we're doing. We're having an enhanced energy communication conversation right now, and that's like, oh, that was just so perfect when I heard that.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't know what to name my protocol. I had it, you know, I was putting together. It's a very integrative technique. Some of the techniques are mine. Some of the techniques are bits and pieces from other techniques that I sort of molded into mine. And I have to tell you, like, I didn't know what to call it. And then one day somebody was talking about an EEG machine, like, you know, those machines that can check your heart rate or whatever and your energy levels and stuff and testing and things. So I was like, EEG, that's nice. And then it just popped into my head as, like, enhanced energy communication is the EEC. So I was like, you know what? I like that, because really what we're doing is we are enhancing our energy. And, you know, not to take away from all the wonderful things that you have to say right now, but the one thing that I noticed is if we think about ourselves like a basketball, each person is a basketball, really only if you were to put a piece of dust on that basketball, that's how big our body is and compared to our energy.
Oh.
Right. Our energy is 99.9999999% of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Right. But we let this little piece of dust hold back our potential.
That is the coolest thing. I'm so glad you said that. That right now, I'm hoping that everybody even listening, and maybe they're like focused into their dust space, and they're thinking, oh, you know, I have some pain going on, or I don't like this about my body, or that, like, that's literally, because that's how important it is to, oh, that's actually such a cool thing. You didn't even probably know this, but because we're talking about energy, that's what daydreaming is to me.
Well, it is, absolutely. And when people say they can't get in touch with their energy, I'm like, do you imagine things? Mm-hmm. Like, your imagination, that's your playground. You can make anything happen. And people, you know, I think we've overused a lot of words, right? Like, we've overused the word universal and source and power and all of these words where people have lost the meaning of what they are. And if they could even just understand that their energy is that universal power. And if they could just take that piece of dust and, you know, and clean it up a little bit, they have access to it all.
Oh, access. Oh, another one of my favorite words, access. Yeah, because I can't connect. I can't do this. Well, there is a way to access it. And that is like really, you know, when we're little, that's what we do. We play. When you're little, you're like, oh, here, you take that Barbie and I'll take that. And I'm this person and you're that person, you know, and oh, let's do this. And they change our outfits and do that.
Right. And they say people will come to me all the time because I do hypnosis. Right. So they'll come to me all the time and be like, I don't know how to imagine. I'm like, do you plan? Do you know what you're having for dinner tonight? Right. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking I'm having, you know, I'm going to do steak and potatoes. And I'm like, do you have an idea of, like, you know, what that plate's going to look like? Yeah. Well, there you go. You know, and did you plan, you know, your day at work? Mm-hmm. Right? Do you plan, like when you plan things, you're still using your imagination. You're just using it differently, but you're still using it all the time.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And they call that a life plan. You know, they say, what's your life plan? And it really is like just things that you, that make you feel good, that you want to accomplish, you want to experience, that you want to, you know, yeah, basically that, just experience. And that's what thing is, you just got to play and daydream and plan. And yeah. You know what, not, sometimes you plan things and they don't happen, but at least you put it on the list there and you're working towards it.
Yeah. Right. And my most favorite is, you know, what was the last movie that you ever watched that made you cry? Right. So they'll tell you, you know, the name of a movie or something. I like Steel Magnolias. I like completely break down every time I watch that movie. And I'm like, okay, so Steel Magnolias, there's a movie. Well, we know it's fake, but still we cry. So don't you think you're using your imagination? You know, some part of you knows that this is make-believe. This is just a bunch of actors on a screen. Yet we allow our imagination to take us into that story. And we become engrossed in it, where we can feel all the emotions of it. So we're using our imagination all the time.
Mm-hmm. You just made me think of somebody who might say, well, who doesn't put the time, they don't dedicate the time. Like we have to, if we want to go into meditation, we have to say, okay, at this time or whatever part of the day, I'm going into meditation. It's the same we want to do about our lives, because a lot of people say you don't make time to daydream, to plan, to do this. We I don't want to say die, but our energy levels drop, they plummet, because we're creators. We are creators. We want to create. We want to and have pleasure in that creation. And it's funny because I was just thinking about a recent movie that I watched, and I'm trying to think of what the title is. It's something like Gone Wild or Gardens, not Gardens Gone Wild, but it's basically this Irish wild forest designer, garden designer, and she's going for this award to win. But it was so magical, and they got to travel throughout some places, and I was like, I feel like I went to those countries when I was watching it. And it's in me, my energy, my life force expanded. And I got to expand, and then I carried with that with me as I went about my day. It literally transformed that energy level, and I'm just going to so think about a basketball right now with a piece of dust on it.
Well, it's funny because I have one of those, you know, the blue snowball mics. Like I've got one of those besides. Yeah. So when I'm on Zooms with my clients, and I'm talking about this piece of dust, I always pick up the mic so they can actually see like this globe. And I'll be like, see that little, that white little piece of dirt that's right there, that little linty piece on my cover, my wind cover. I'm like, that's you compared to this whole thing that is your energy.
Yes. Energy cleanup. I love that. Now, people will know me as a Light on Living host, but do you have my bio handy in front of you?
I do. I have the one that you sent where you're, yes. And I have all the wonderful things that you do, because you do a lot of things.
Not as much as you, my God. Yours was like, woof. But
I think we're pretty even. I don't know. I think we're pretty even.
It's a lot of daydreaming that we've done to do what we do. I think that's what it is.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what it takes. And it's, you know, even though, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. I'm not going to get into everything, but I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. And that was, you know, we have these moments, even those of us who are doing this work every single day and working with clients and doing stuff, you know, we're not super, well, I guess we're all supernatural, right? But there are things that sort of come in, you know, those triggers or moments of darkness that kind of creep their way in. And, you know, take our dream and start smashing it around. And I was having a moment yesterday where I was just like, you know, thinking about my business. And I, you know, I'm a solopreneur, so I'm working from morning till night. Like how many of you out there who are listening can like relate to that, right? And I'm there in the morning. I get up early, 6 o'clock, you know, make my coffee, do my meditation. And then I'm in front of my computer for the rest of the day when I'm not seeing clients. So I'm like, okay. And I was just having a frustrating moment. You know, too many balls in the air and having a moment. And I'm thinking, who can I call right now? And of course I called you.
No. Yeah. I'm glad you did.
And I'm like, oh my God, what's happening to me right now? So, you know, it just sometimes takes a little bit. We all have those moments, all of us.
We really do. And that's actually a neat way to go into this because I do something. One thing is I see a lot of people say, you know, how to live the life of your dream, how to have the life of your dream, how to create it. I actually really love rescuing dreams too because we've all yes. had them and then we forget them. And oh my gosh, like you just said, frustration. There's nothing worse than a dream killer than frustration because we're trying to push it into this one ball that we really, really think it should want. We want it to look like or feel like or be like or faster than things. And it's, and then sometimes we can give up on that dream or yes. just really, or actually rebel. I always call it a temper tantrum. Really, like, yeah. I didn't want you anyways, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't
forget
do that.
You. So,
yeah. You're not, no, I'm moving on. But the thing is that once we, this is interesting. Once we actually have a dream, whether you're 2 years old, 10 years old, 8 years, it doesn't matter when we have it. It actually is created. As we know, energy cannot be destroyed. That is an energy vibe floating around there. And it, I always feel like it's sadness to me when we forget about a dream or we don't kind of let it go to completion, however that may look. And so that's why I actually really call it rescuing a dream. Like if I were to see, you know, somebody, an animal or something that needed rescue, there would be nothing that I would want it to let in my way. Just I would go for it, even if I'm like, oh my God, but I'm afraid of heights. I can't go on that bridge and help them too. But you just would because you have that right. thing inside of you. It's a rescue. It's like a rescue mission. And I love rescuing people's dreams because it's about being gentle on yourself, and I'm jumping into this, but I have to say this, is that you never give up on a dream. You actually just put it aside. And so if you can continue to love that dream no matter what, at what state it is, in infancy or not, just keep adding to it and just go, the dream's still a dream. It's just not there yet. And maybe it's an 80-year dream. Maybe it's like it's going to be there, you know, right to the very end. Like I have dreams and I think, no, I haven't quit it and I haven't, you know, bailed on it or given up. It's just not ready yet. It's still doing its thing. And I'm still having fun.
It's still percolating. But I think that, you know, you made a really good point earlier when you said, you know, you'll see something, you know, an animal that's suffering on a bridge and you know that you're afraid of that bridge, but you'll get on it anyways. Yeah. And that's the point that came up to me when you said that is that a lot of people will put themselves out there for someone else and they will help yes. something else and someone else. But they will not put that same, you know what, doesn't matter if I'm afraid, I'm going to go full force into it for themselves.
Yes, that you nailed that one. That's a big one. Because we have a lot, like what you said earlier, I'm going to use frustration as like a limiting, not limiting belief. Yep. You know what, I'm going to call it a limitation. We set these limits to say, I'm not worth that. I'm not. It's okay if I'm in pain as long as somebody else isn't. And that is right. a big one. Like my dream's not as important. I just don't want to let somebody else down. But in fact, because we are all connected, we actually forget, like consciously, that we in fact are. When we let ourselves down, that we really are letting other people down because other people love us too. And they want us to live at our dreams as well. So that's what one little trick you can use. You can say, I'm going to give up on my dream and then it's just me, but think, no, you know what? That other person would be really sad to not have me follow through on my dream and that would hurt somebody else. So kind of borrowed belief here, right? Borrowed faith.
It is, but and at the same time, that's I think that we help other people because it's for some reason, and I think it's a self-worth thing, but yeah. for some reason we think that their dream is doable, yes. but our dream isn't.
Yeah. We've got a lot of hurt that we placed on ourselves, like, oh, I failed at something before, so I'm going to just fail again, or I don't want to look silly if I do fail again, or wow, that's a lot of work. And, oh, if we could just jump on work for a second, I think that's so neat when people say it's okay. a lot of work. You know what? Every life is a lot of work, technically, if you want to think about it, but we're here anyways. So it just soften. I always say that soften on the judgment. When we daydream, we don't put limits on it, like, okay, you can daydream, but only this much. Like, don't go over there. Yeah, that's too much. No, no, no. That's it. There's no daydream jail. Like,
it's true. It's true. And we also have a lot of us have. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. What if you're daydreaming?
Oh, no. I was going to say, and like even right now, I'm so happy like you had a daydream and you want to have a show and now I get to be here with you on your show. And I think that's so cool. And now it's just going to layer in that energy about it.
Well, it's amazing because that's a really good point. So I've been wanting for a long time to like sort of do a radio show, and then nothing that I really looked at spoke to me. So I kept putting it on the back burner and putting it on the back burner. And then for some reason, What were we talking about? I don't even can't remember. We got together and I wanted to be on your show about fibromyalgia or something. I don't even know how we got onto it. And then I decided to be on your show. And then I got a sort of my hands, like got a taste of Om Times. And I was like, oh, and all of a sudden my interest had been piqued more than any other time before. Right. So with these other places that I was, because other places I was just searching and going, no. Oh, well, I don't know if this is going to happen. And then all of a sudden, you know, this showed up. And if these things happen, if you keep your dream alive, like you said, if you keep it out there and just, you know, don't get impatient.
Yeah. And just to say, well, you said I put it on the back burner. And see right there, I'm just going to use you as an example. That is a little bit harsh still. That's a little sad because I'm like, no, you didn't put it on the back burner. It was just waiting for its perfect place, perfect home to show up. Like sometimes people search for
a home to purchase.
And they look at – I have known people to look at over 100 houses before they purchase it. And – they don't give up. They're just going to look, but they don't go, oh yeah, it's just, they're just waiting still. They're just, they're looking for the right match, the pair. It's like that game you play and you flip over cards until you get the right, you know, two that match and go together.
That's right. Oh, that's right. So when you say that you're rescuing people's dreams, is this something that you're doing now? Like, cause I know when I first met you, when you came onto my show, when I had the video show, The Chakra House of Healing, as my guest. And at that time, you were doing life coaching and wellness coaching, and you were working with Ho'oponopono a lot.
Yes. Forgiveness. See, I love being gentle. And even, so I've always gone that path of, yes, rescuing dreams and life coaching, because you have to. I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's about life happiness, life joy, life forgiveness and life love and life connection. So when I think of life coach, it means so much to me. And I love being on your show back then. That is one of my favorite episodes to this date. And I've done way too much TV, but like that was my favorite show of doing Ho'oponopono with you. And I think I said it wrong the whole way through too. I think I used to call it, I can't remember the wrong way now, but I used to call it something funny.
I think you said it right. I think you said it right.
Oh, no, because those words really walk through the best for me. Any kind of life coaching? I think commercials. Oh, yes.
They're taking us to commercial. They're taking us to break, and we will be right back on a Master's Choice. Master's Practice. I forgot the name. Master's Practice with Lisa, and we'll be right back.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Are you ready to live your life depression-free? Are you having thoughts of ending things? Wondering what life would be like without chronic pain? How about no longer suffering the effects of trauma and PTSD? Are you tired of having your credibility questioned because you look fine and no one understands that you are struggling with an invisible disorder? Hi, I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan, and I'm a holistic transformation specialist. I work with clients from all over the world to aid them in eliminating, that's right, you heard me, eliminating their current struggles and challenges. I don't work with symptoms. That's like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. I'm all about root cause and all the levels of you, as each one of us is unique. Ready to transform your life for good? To move into the best version of yourself and reach your unlimited potential? Then book your complimentary 1-hour online consultation with me by going to www.aishahogan.com. That's AYSEHogan.com. And it will take you right to my clinic, the Chakra House of Healing. I look forward to meeting you there.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi there, and welcome back to A Master's Practice. You can join us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard. And today, we are here with Lisa Berry, and we're talking about rescuing your dreams. Actually, we're talking about a lot of things, but we're talking mainly about rescuing your dreams. So we were talking about, where did we end up? Oh, yeah, we're talking a little bit about Ho'oponopono.
Yes, and you know what's really interesting about that is talking about dreams and stuff, and I just heard your commercial, so another thing came up for me. A lot of people, why they do give up on their dreams is because of trauma. And you talked about PTSD and trauma.
Yes.
And, you know, that is something that why I love Ho'oponopono so much, because for everybody who doesn't know, that's a Hawaiian forgiveness prayer. And I cannot express to you how far and deep forgiveness for yourself goes. It is life-changing. Like, it's life-changing. It actually, when you, I find that when people are angry with themselves and that makes them disconnect, they truly don't believe they deserve any dream. And when you open up that space, because that's what I feel like, you know, doing the forgiveness does, it opens up space and allows you to start putting those little details and pieces of the plan, as you say, back in that dream. And I just love when we talk about where we start and where we end up. Oh my gosh, expands at multiple. It just multiplies. It multiplies. And you cannot imagine. I mean, you might put five things on that plan, and there's literally going to be a million by the time you're done. And we were talking about listeners. There's so many listeners on different networks and stuff, but somebody else might pick up a show. And then who knows, right now, there might be one listener, but she's or he is listening with the whole family. And now there's actually seven listeners, or you know what I mean? Like, it's multiplying is amazing.
It's true. And there's something else that you said there, and it's just, you know, it amazes me how people put themselves, I shouldn't say it amazes me because I was one of those people, but put themselves last, because they will forgive others long before they will forgive themselves. And I think that, you know, we like to believe in other people's dreams. We like to forgive other people for the most part, unless we feel like the offense is unforgivable, and then it just takes some work before you can get there. But ourselves, like, I even think about myself and all of the stuff that I've gone through in my life. And I got to a point where I forgave all the people in my life. But the hardest part, and I had to do it in stages, was to forgive myself. I mean, I think that's with all forgiveness. You can't do 100% forgiveness all at once. But I found that with myself, forgiving myself for all the mistakes that I made, forgiving myself for the dangerous situations I put myself into and things that happened because of it, that was the toughest out of everything. Not the people who did things to me, but more me forgiving myself for allowing it.
Right. And you know, interesting there, because what comes up in what you just shared, and I think this will be a big one for everybody listening. Huge, huge. We're going to talk about judgments because judgments on, I can't believe I put myself in that situation. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I didn't do that. What I like to call about this, because self-love, I used to hate that word. I actually was like, ooh, don't even say that out loud. Don't talk about self-love. How selfish is that? Like, I had a big thing with that word. And now it's like my favorite word of all times. I stand up for self-love. I announce it. I proclaim it. And what I call the judgments now, which is a really good word shift for anybody out there, I call them preferences. I was like, you know what? I'm not judging it's good or bad, but I prefer this, because in my preference to that, it's my highest self. I can love more. I can shine more. And I can just keep doing what I'm doing. Because when I'm judging it, I'm actually saying what is not just good or bad, but what is right or wrong for others. And I wouldn't do that, so you shouldn't do it. But when I say preference, right. I love being able to say, I prefer to not watch things on TV that will stick in my mind and upset me. I don't want to. And that's called self-love. And I actually will stand up there and go, nope, it's just a preference. I'm not judging you for doing it and watching it and wanting to enjoy it, but I prefer to not. And that's me self-loving myself. Right. And there you go. Right?
It's true. It's true. It's very true. You know what I've noticed too, and I don't know if you are in that space as well, but you know, the more, you know, I've evolved in my life, the more that certain things just, I don't know if right the word, okay, you know, I'm going to use the word preference. I'm not going to use the word annoy, but you know, I'll have people that'll come by and visit and you know, they haven't done any work on themselves, but they're people that I know and they preferred not to do any work with themselves yet. And that's fine. But when they come in and then they're very judgmental of others and very cruel behind other people's backs. And I immediately, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago when I actually asked one of my friends to leave my house.
Now,
and I was just like, I love you a lot. And when you're ready to come here and not do this, you're welcome back anytime.
Aww,
right. But no. I can't have you sitting in my house and bad mouthing other people. That's not feeling good for me at all.
That was so courageous. What an example. Now, that's huge leadership in rescuing your dream. Because guess what? Your dream, and part of your dream, is you would like to live in a harmonious, non-competing, cooperative, loving, healing environment. And that right there, everybody, that's part of your dream. Rescue that dream and rescue any dream. Like, you know, a lot, I think a lot of the things, and I'm going to bash the mainstream news right now. And yeah, and I totally mean to, but it's because some people out there, some people actually want us to feel bad so that we are disempowered. And I love encouraging people to daydream about that beautiful la-la fairy tale world full of singing to the birds and squirrels talking to you and you're Snow White. I don't care. Have it. Like, why not? That's where you can be courageous and say, I actually can improve my environment and I can do it one request at a time for those people to, you know what, I can't share space with you right now. It's all for you if you want to be there, but I just can't, so I'm going to do this. I do that all the time, and some people say, oh, wow, that was kind of – I try to do it in the most respectful and loving way, of course. I'm not
– Yeah, me too.
Being, yeah, rude, but I'm also like – and in fact, if that even was a judgment back on me, I'll say, you know, again, if you feel that way, I'm so sorry. I'm actually coming from a place of my heart, and I don't really need to defend it any more than that. And I think that's a big thing about rescuing your dream. Realize that your dream can be as – it doesn't have to be about a thing, like attaining something. It can be how you live. Like, that's your dream. Like, I have this thing called barefoot balance. I'm just going to share this. I love barefoot balance. And it really is. And this is I call this my selfish time. And I love it. Self-loving. And it really is. My dream is to have posture, like physical posture, that allows alignment for me to stand tall, open my heart up and my chest cavity up to let that love beam out, and to have my eyes, this is so important for me, to have my eyes gazing at a point where I can see the world and what the beauty like is there to offer to me, and let me soak it up. And I love being in barefoot to do that, to do the grounding, to walk around, to be able to grip onto the things that I want. And I think that I do a lot of posturing. So my self-loving rescuing dream kickstarting moment is literally to take 5 minutes. It can take 3 minutes, but I just literally stand on my bare feet. I get my you know, my feet into a great nice gripping on the ground sturdy thing, and I tighten up the thighs to make me feel strong, and I open the chest and I look up high. And it's such a powerful exercise to show yourself that you have self-love and to say, I am rescuing any dream and I want to stick with it. And it might be 80 years, it might be 2 months, but I'm committing to my love, my higher self, and my expansion.
It's amazing. That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. Oh. I love that. I'm going to have to try that. That is amazing.
No, I'll send you the steps. Because,
well, please do. You know what? Like, I love talking to you because you are such a selfless person. But at the same time, you are also there is a lot of self-love there, and you're very respectful and appreciative of yourself. And what I'm getting at here is that a lot of people are not there, because when you were talking about the news, for instance, I haven't watched the news, I think, in 6 years. It's been six years. So until, you know, if something important shows up, I'll find out about it. Like, for instance, the fire at the Amazon in the Amazon forest. Immediately somebody mentioned it to me. I did go on and Google it and find out what was happening. But other than that, I don't really watch the day-to-day stuff. And what I really noticed about that was, if I happen to walk into a friend's house or my sister's house and the news is on, I have become completely sensitized to it now. So it's not like, it's not something that I hear every day anymore, or what doesn't bother me. It's almost like I'm callous to it now. Like, I don't feel that anymore, what I'm hearing. Now I actually feel it more than ever. So when I actually go in and I hear that going on the TV or wherever on the radio, and I'm like, can we change this or I gotta go? Yeah. Like, I can't even be here right now because I feel like I'm being choked.
Right. You know what? And here's, I love that you mentioned that point. When we start loving ourselves more, we start recognizing where there is abuse or trauma out there. Because like you said, that we get so used to it. You know, like some people, oh, there's a story about, you know, a dog will lay on the deck, and if there's a nail there, if he keeps laying on it, you know, he's going to always just get used to it. He'll just get used to it. We get used to things. And that's, I think I would love for everybody to get used to loving themselves, get used to seeing beauty, get used. It's so funny. I do this one. I love my phone. I'm so grateful for it. I'm on it right now. I'm able to work. I'm able to create things, take pictures. Right, like, I'm grateful for it, but I also make sure that every day I want to give some healing love to my eyes and to my hands and to not hold things. And so I always go out and make sure I look at nature. I look at the green color, the blue color, and the, like, just looking at something that's not the TV and not hearing things. And I make sure that I hear beautiful things. And I know for me, I'm a cat. I love my cats and I talk about them all the time, but they're little meows and they're little squeaks in the way they purr and off their little breath. You know, that's just such a loving gift. Or birds, you know, it's, I just, and I know we talk about nature a lot, but that's really why, because it's natural. It a tree will love itself. It tries to say, hey, I've got something going on, a little mold here, disease here. I'm going to try to heal myself. I'm going to reach up to the sun and pull this in, and I'm going to, you know, shake its little leaves with the little water droplets.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm not going to compare myself to another tree. I'm just going to find my own power, right?
Yes, yes. And I thought I just heard a cat there, but yes, the trees literally, can you imagine if all the blades of grass like went, oh, get away from me. How come you're taller? How come you're thick? How come you're wider?
And you're supposed to look like this, right?
Yes, yes. So it's just beautiful how we can look at, and I know it's, oh, it's, it can be true. Some people are thinking, oh yeah, sure, right, like this walker. But it takes practice. And I love that your show's title is A Master's Practice, because guess what? We've got to practice that. We've got to practice and turn the focus away from, if it doesn't feel good, guess what? Stop doing that. Stop practicing what doesn't feel good. Practice what feels good.
And that's where people, you know, they like to swim in their darkness.
Yes.
I don't even know if "likes" the right word. I think it's, they're just, it's a familiar place for them.
Familiar.
And even though they don't like it, it doesn't feel good for them, they actually know what to expect. And we come back to this self-worth thing again, right? Yeah. And that's why I love doing, you know, the EEC, because I can get rid of that stuff pretty quickly. But it's just like that soul self-worth thing is a problem, because they're like, I'm not worthy to stand in the light. And here's the confusion with people. Okay. So I've got a show coming up that's next week. That's Lighting Up the Devil. And that's a special series that we're putting on. So one of the things that people don't realize is when we talk about source and we talk about universe and we're talking about that, we're always thinking, oh, light, rainbows, flowers, ha ha ha, you know, all that kind of really joy stuff. But what we don't realize is that for every yin, there's a yang. For every positive, there's a negative. For every north, there's a south. For every left, there's a right. So for every positive energy that's in the universe, there is a negative, right? There has to be, for that universe to be in balance.
Yes.
Right. When we say that we're in balance, that doesn't mean that we're just flooded with only positive energy. We are in balance because our negatives and our positives are in balance. We could not function in this world without our negative subpersonalities or our shadow selves. We just could not function. But it's about not letting it take. It's about not letting it take control. Right. Mm-hmm. Moderation. Everything in moderation. So using those tools when you need to. So yes, if you step into the light, you will still have the shadow self of things. It's just your connection is different. That's all.
It is. I love that, right? You said we'll that, because people will accuse me of, oh, but you're always happy and you're always this. And I don't need to defend it. I'm often happy, but it's also because, ready for this, because I actually am happy when I'm not happy. Like, I'm happy to not be happy because it's a cool state. Like, I go, hey, look at me. I'm not actually all that happy. Oh, what's going on? And it's more of a, hey, look, I'm so appreciative that I'm being really grumpy right now. Yay. But it's where the growth comes from. I really stop and I go, God, I was really upset about that or angry. And then I do, yeah, it is kind of funny to me. I think back and go, wow, I just totally lost it right there. And actually what I do love, and I know it sounds weird, but not that everyone hurt anybody's feelings or blow up or anything, but I actually get a high from apologizing about something. I kind of do it obsessively. I'm like, oh, you know what? That wasn't my best self right there. I can't wait to tell that person that I should have done better. You know, I will work to like love them more or whatever. Or it's kind of humbling in a neat way to say, look at me. I've got lots to grow still. Like, that's how I know I'm not going to die tomorrow. Gosh, I got so much to do here. I'm making mistakes every day. So it's kind of good.
And that's another one of those words, right? So in your case, I know it's completely genuine, but that's another one of those words is I'm sorry. You know, when people come in and you'll say, oh, can you just hand me that? Oh, I'm sorry. They apologize. Like, I've got people, clients that come in and they apologize for things every 5 minutes. And you're like, why are you sorry? Stop being sorry.
Ooh, okay. Like, you know what? And I know
those
that
those are not things to be sorry about, right? Like, they've lost the meaning for the word sorry. Sorry's become almost like excuse me or something. Like, it's just. They're constantly on edge, so every single thing that they do, it's they're sorry for, and they don't even know why they're sorry. And I'm like, why are you even sorry to me right now?
I would love for that to be the cliffhanger for your commercial, because I want people to come back, and if they're recognizing in themselves right now, like, oh my God, I totally do that. I want to come back and share the harm of what's going on to your soul by doing that. Can we do that?
We can do that. So we'll welcome, or sorry, we're going to take another break. You've got me all bamboozled here. So we're going to take another break from a master's practice and see you soon. I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan with Lisa Berry.
Yay!
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Are you tired of being tired? If you're feeling overwhelmed in your mind and your body to the point where it is breaking your spirit, then it is time to take back control of your entire life in a whole new way. Come join us in Nashville, Tennessee, November 15th through 17th for a retreat filled with transformation and freedom, achieving methods and protocols. Learn real, ready-to-use exercises and techniques that will have you feeling better than you have probably ever felt. The healers at this event have more than 50 years of combined expertise in the art of making you feel well, bringing you tools that are so different than anything you have ever experienced before. This is a specialized event with personalized activities, so space is limited. Are you ready to make a serious breakthrough? If you want to experience massive healing in a short time, then this is something that cannot be missed. You deserve to have an amazing life. This is your opportunity to finally make it a reality. Ready to transform your world? Go to GuruRetreats.com and register now.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hi there. Not yet. Soon. Hi there. Welcome back to A Master's Practice. I'm having a day today with these coming in and coming out from commercials, but that's okay. I have a sense of humor about it. I'll get it right yet. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan with my guest, Lisa Berry. As long as I get the guest's name right, that's a good thing. So we're back, and we were talking about, you know, when people just apologize for things randomly, like constantly, like it's part of their every sentence.
Yes, and I have to tell you something funny about the commercial. Guess what? Oh, it took me so long. I actually pronounced the guest name very incorrectly, so that'll be fine when you do that too, by the way. I am so excited about talking about this sorry thing. That was totally me. And I was like, and people would say, well, you don't need to keep saying sorry. You don't need to say sorry. And I thought, oh, whatever. You know, I do it. It's what I do. You know, and you get a little defensive or whatnot. And then I took the time to one day and sit back and think about this. I was like, wait, okay. What's going on? And then first of all, I realized total habit. It's a habit too. I'm saying it just out of a habit. Like some people might say the word or something, right? And so I thought, okay, right. Well, what is there a harm about doing this? And I was like, oh my gosh, I say sorry a lot because of confidence. I'm lacking confidence in my actions. I'm lacking confidence, and I'm fearing of people judging me, like, oh, I did something wrong. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, you know? And so when you think about what that does to yourself, about so worried about what other things, but you're not even really realizing, again, desensitized to this. It's this connection with self that you're letting yourself down. And you don't need to apologize for who and what you do. And so I really started watching myself. How often do I say it? What am I saying it for? Why did I say that? Was that just because that time was a habit and I said it? Or was I really feeling a little self-conscious and want to make sure that they liked me and I didn't hurt their feelings? And I was like, well, if I know that I'm coming from a place of absolute authenticity and my intentions are not to hurt somebody's feelings, then why am I saying sorry? I'm like using up my sorries here. So I think it's important
totally
to step back. Yeah, and look at that, like, and confidence.
When you're sorry, like there's certain words that I find that people just use a lot and to the point where they're actually, it's harmful, like you just explained, like more harmful than good for them. Another one is the word love, right? So, you know, when people tell, I love you, I love you, I love you, oh, I love you, 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 love you. And it's great. But now it's become like, hey, how are you? Right? Like again, you know, there's meaning behind these words. And there's some words in our language that are powerful, whatever language that you say them in, whether you say love, you say more, whatever you say, but there's these languages that we use for this word love, and that word has this incredible vibration, and we can't just use it like, yeah, see you later.
Right. Oh, Aisha, you're gonna laugh at this one. So literally, this has been something I've been working on, and I was so afraid to do this, and you guys are all gonna laugh. It's a good one. It's a good one, I promise. So on Facebook, you can like something, you can heart something, you can laugh at something, you know, you can be surprised at something. So I was going through and I was like, I do the love heart thing for a lot of things. And I was like, well, why don't I just like it? And I was like, okay, no, I can't just like it. Then they might think that I don't love it because I love it. But I was like, but do I love it or do I like it? And I had this huge dilemma. And do you know how hard it was for me to give thumbs up and not hearts? Oh, I was like struggling with it.
You're going to have to use the wow, because the Facebook like isn't good for your algorithms. That's why we always do the love.
Oh, okay. I just must have known that. No, I know. Okay, I'm gonna go with the wow.
But it's so funny. But
there was really an honest to God feeling of judgment going through, or me worried about, well, I really do love their post, but like's not good enough. And so I really did have to stop and sit back. Okay, well, here we go. What's my intention? What am I going through? And that is just an everyday thing. How many people hop on Facebook and like and love and wow and all those things. And
they don't even read the posts. And they don't read the posts.
That too, actually, yes. You're like, wow, you love that one, because that wasn't a really good ending to that post. You know?
Yeah, someone's dog died, and you love that. Like, did you not read the post?
right. And there's another thing too about being really present. And back to about rescuing your dreams is I know it sounds funny. Be present in your daydreaming, but I really do mean that. Dedicate that time to be present in your daydream and go back to preferences. We can all tie it all together here. Is that my preference? Do I really like that? Or does somebody else think that I will like that? Do I like that because I think somebody else will be, you know, my partner, my mate, likes that, but I just want to make them happy. So really, truly, when you are rescuing your dream, you have to be present to it, explore it, get to know it, be self-centered, and I love that word too, actually, self-centered. Get your barefoot balance on, be self-centered, know your preferences, and really give that time to daydream and kind of remember what are those things that I really do light up with when I'm thinking about this. And you may have to go right to the basics, like I said, about just cleaning up your environment. That's one of my favorite ones. You have to clean up your environment to rescue any dream.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Like, I find that too. And not being judgmental of anyone, but sometimes I'll be on Zoom with people and I've told them right to their face because, you know me, I'm very direct. And I'll be talking to them and I'll be like, okay, maybe this is just this room that you're sitting in to talk to me about, but I'm going to ask you a question. Please don't be offended. Is your whole house look like this? And they'll look at me and some of them will say yes. And some of them will be like, no, that's just this room. And I'll be like, okay, the reason why you feel so cluttered and you can't think straight, look around you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
Look around you because your environment is cluttered and you need to do some purging on your outside and on your inside.
Yes. And this is like when you say about your environment, look around you, look at the people whom you're choosing. Sorry. Let me retry. I want to try that.
Yes.
Look at the conversations that you're having with people.
Yes.
So don't look at the people. Look at the quality of conversation. Look at the quality of stuff that you're reading. Look at the quality of food. And I'm, as a nutritionist, I love that. Love that. And just even, I've announced on my show, I have something called, and I call it, and I name it, the event room. Like, even the naming, it's the event room. And that's like, it's playing. I'm playing, you know, playing house. And I love that. Who says I can't have a name for my room, like the grand room?
Yes.
You know, and so whenever I come in here, the environment is set to such degree that it supports an event. It's an event when I want to connect with the world. It's an event when I get to talk to people like you who are just such good friends and people. And it really means a lot. And I honor it every time. And I think that's another thing that we also get so rushed in life, that we don't stop to honor like the goodness, the beauty and the love that really is in our lives.
And the miracles, we forget the miracles.
Miracles.
You know, we look at, you know, trees budding and butterflies and all these different things. And I know it sounds like I'm talking about butterflies and rainbows now, but at the end of the day, when we were kids, we would look at these things and we would be like, holy, and our mouths would hang open and we would be like so amazed by everything that was happening around us. And people don't realize because they get so wrapped up in your life that guess what? Knock, knock, they're still happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the miracles are still happening and they're still just as amazing as they were when you were a kid.
What a perfect thing to say. Oh my gosh. Okay. This show is now going to be awesome, extra awesome because it's that you said that they're still happening. So what? Okay. So guys, if something negative is going on in your life or positive, doesn't matter, like something that makes you feel good or makes you feel bad, you don't have to do, I'm saying these words and actually you might not, the words might not be right with your, with what you do, but I always think, you know what? We don't actually ever clear or get rid of or dissolve something. We actually shift our focus. We shift our perspective. Like those miracles that were happening before when we were little, they are still happening, but we aren't looking. And so
right
now in anybody's life, no matter how much pain you're in, how much distress, how much confusion, you don't have to fix that, but start noticing where there are beautiful things, where there are pain-free things, where are there feel-good moments. And they'll be so tiny and little, and they can be big, but it's just literally
and they're
shifting.
Everywhere, and they're everywhere.
Yes. Yes. And if you can't find them, then you need to write to Aisha here and ask her, say, look, I need something. And you will point them out.
Absolutely. So I'm really, really also excited because, you know, that commercial that was on earlier about the retreat, we've changed
yes.
the retreat to it's an online workshop. I have to do a new commercial for that. But it's like, you are actually going to be part of the retreat, or sorry, the workshop as well. So you are actually going to be coming on and doing a 2-hour workshop. So that's amazing.
I know. That is amazing. And, you know, oh, here's another thing. That invitation from you, like, it wasn't like we weren't thinking of not doing or doing it. It just didn't dawn on us to connect and do that together. But here, a beautiful invitation just showed up in my world. So here I am poking around, just doing my thing. And a surprise, a miracle comes up, an opportunity. And so I love that. And so first, I'm so excited to do that. I hope everybody calls in or jumps online to this, to the workshop, and you'll have to remind me of the name, because I think you've switched it around. What's the new name?
Yeah, everything. Yeah, it's still GuruRetreats.com.
Yes.
So that's still there. But the whole setup is still there. It's just changed from being in location on Nashville. We're going to be doing the whole thing online live.
Okay, great. Yes, Guru. There, I love that. So just like anybody else in your life right now, expect a miracle, expect an invitation, expect something good to show up and allow you to connect with it. Because if you expect for it not to, guess what? You'll get that.
Yes.
You know, you expect the goodness, expect the sweetness and the joys, and just go, I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't even know from who, you know, but is it from whom? I don't know. Anyway.
It doesn't matter.
We know. It doesn't matter. But I love that. Like when you rescue your dream, expect something good to happen from it.
And be okay for evolution. Like when I was doing the retreat the way that I was doing it, that was my dream. I was putting it out as my first retreat ever. And I had to roll with the punches, right? So not punches, but, you know, people came up and there was some information given to me and feedback given to me. And instead of being like, oh man, why can't they do it the way that I want to do it? Like, this is how I want it. I was like, you know what? That's okay. You know what I mean? The whole idea is to put that, I mean, the idea was to be able to get a group of people together and put out an amazing program for people to self-heal. And we've got some amazing women like together to do this. And it's just like, what? It's okay. We will just rearrange it and evolve it a little bit and make it even better and have a bigger reach. And it's going to be awesome. So it was just like, you got to roll with it. You got to be okay to just think on your feet with it and make it even better.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
And transform it.
I love that you said it's gurus, but it's a guru for soul healing, self healing, right? That's what you, yes. This is for people who are, the pain can come in so many ways. I always find sadness. Sadness is my pain. That would be like my kryptonite. Sadness hurts so much. And so if I always recognize that I need some healing whenever I'm like, oh, I don't feel really good. I recognize sadness in my life, and sadness to me is like disconnection. Like I'm disconnected,
right.
And that's really sad. That makes me horribly. I can't talk about it because it's making me sad. But and I go, okay. So if I know that that's one of my weak points, and I would love to have some healing around that.
I can totally get rid of your sadness, my friend. That is my magic.
Oh, is it? I get rid of your sadness. It's like that movie, you know, that movie Inside Out. Oh, I heard there's a second one out. I have to watch it. But you know, but they talk about the brain and there's all these emotions, because emotions,
yes.
Follow your emotions, guys. Like when you're wondering like, what the heck is going on? I'm out of balance and you need barefoot balance. You know what? Just go, what is my emotion coming up? Don't judge it. Just go, there it is. It's showing up. And then, yes, if you can help with you can get rid of my sadness or get rid of something, like reach out to find help from others. They're there to help you. They want to help you. We want to help you.
Yes. Yes, we do. Absolutely. You just have to want to help yourself. And that's the big,
yes,
that's the big ticket is, you know, how committed are you and how much value does your life have for you? That you will say, you know what, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and step out of what I know that's familiar and say, I want to be the best I can be. I want to stand in my light. I want to stand in my potential. And I want to be what I came here to do.
Mm-hmm. Which I always,
you know,
think
I want to stand in that. Yes, it's to be happy. It's to learn our lessons. It's to do whatever it is that we need to do. But all of that trauma and stuff that you've been through in your life, all of those things that make you sad and make you feel bad, they were there to teach you something. And I think something ends up happening is we get all wrapped up in the emotion and we don't stop for a minute and say, what did I learn from that?
Mm-hmm.
Why did that show up for me?
You just reminded me, this has been coming up for me. It's a couple times though, but it's that old thing when you're crossing the road and that you go, stop, look and listen, stop, look and listen. don't want to get hit by that car.
It is true. I totally live by the KISS principle, you know, keep it simple, silly, right? So it's just like, so it's really about, we like to dramatize things and make them so big and huge, right? And it's about just, let's get down to the base of it. Like, it's really simple. It's not that hard.
And if you're going to dramatize something, go like gangster on just something that's awesome. Like, I went on this rant yesterday. It was too funny, actually. I didn't realize how funny it was, but I went on this rant. I ran out of my bathroom. I went, oh my God, I love my bathroom. It's like the best bathroom I've ever had. I love there's a window in there. I love how big the vanity is. And I went on and on. I went, oh my God, what did I just do? And I was dramatizing how much I love my bathroom. But anyways, I know that you're going to have to, I don't want to keep too much here, but I just want to say, you know what? Just rescue your dream. Rescue your dream. If you can't borrow belief, get in touch with me, Lisa Berry, or Aisha. You could help them, direct them. But I'm just so happy that I was able to be here today with you and share this time.
Awesome. We are here to help you, and you can always contact us. Just check out our pages and our blogs and our podcasts and our radio show, and there's always a way to find us if you want to find us. But thank you so much, Lisa, for coming today to A Master's Practice. And all of you that are listening, every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard, please join me on Om Times Radio on A Master's Practice.
Aw, thank you so much. A Master's Practice.
A Master's Practice. Yeah, baby.